But I conned my brother, who was younger than I am, to also come because he participated in the same international tour. And I thought, it was only, I just want to give you a good preface of the whole thing. It was only about, 2 months ago that I actually sat down and talked to Tom about it. Is that right? About 2 months ago. Talk about the tour and found it was most fascinating and most interesting. And thought to myself, well, I can't interview Tom. He's not really from this area. It would be like I was interviewing Tom because he was Tom. And then Alice walked in here about a month ago with some information that you wanted us to help you publicize, and I guess talking to you, and that's how this program came about. So I really appreciate both of you being here. So our guests this morning are Alice Kerr and my brother Tom. Brother Tom, we'll call him. Okay. Alice, I think the best way to start would be to explain what it was that you were involved with, because you were both involved in basically the same thing, although there are some variations as I understand it. Could you tell us just the basic concept of what it was that you were involved with a year ago?
Well, it was a concert tour, and first we were sent the music after we had been accepted by auditioning through tape, and we were to prepare the music, and we went to Ryder College in New Jersey, and that's where we put the whole show together. And then we took off, went to New York, and we went to Washington, D.C., and then on over to Europe and did concert tours over there.
Over how long a period of time did this last?
I think it was just about 32 days that we were over there.
Okay, this is a nationwide tour, and our nationwide choir, composed of young people from all 48 states, as I'm told. How many from this area were involved?
I was really surprised to find out that the largest delegation was from Washington State, and we made up 10% out of all of the states. So, if I'm not mistaken, there were just about 88, if I remember right. There was in the 80s, anyway, from Washington State.
Tom, could you tell me some of the others that were involved from out throughout North Central Washington that you recall? This was a choir and only a choir. Was there an orchestra or a band as well?
Yes, there was an orchestra. I don't remember what size it was, and a band. Some of the people from this area were Denise Risha from Wenatchee, couldn't be here today, and Carol Brumbaugh from Leavenworth. No, there was no one from Cashman this year. The auditions were sent after all the people who went to Allstate Choir. Everyone received an audition form, and then we sent those in. I don't understand why so many from Washington, except that it might give some indication of our music programs in Washington State, the caliber.
Okay, this was another question I was going to ask. We kind of jumped ahead. You were offered an opportunity only to audition, but that was because you were had already auditioned and had been accepted in the Allstate Choir. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. I do know of quite a few people who weren't accepted
on the international tour.
Right. Right. People who wanted to go. So I don't know why or how they selected us, other than they listened to a little cassette recording that was about 3 minutes long. And somehow they made their decision.
As you recall your audition tape, was it hard to prepare?
Well, some people, you know, they kind of get nervous and stuff in front of a tape. And in that sense, I guess maybe it was difficult. I know I had to do mine over about 6 times before I ever got the recording that I wanted to send in.
I think Tom did his several times.
Yeah, I tried mine about 6 times before I got the one I wanted. And I wasn't satisfied with it.
You sent these were auditions for the international tour. You had already done a similar type thing, if I'm not mistaken, for Allstate, hadn't you?
Yes. Theirs is just a little bit more intricate than the one that was for All Nation. They have you do exercises, and then I think it's... that you do a chromatic scale, and then it's not God Bless America, America the Beautiful. We had to do that in our own range, and that was the one that was our Allstate taping.
Were you allowed accompaniment with your audition tapes?
Yes. Yeah, piano, and they specified, please no, you know, like guitars and stuff like that. Just piano.
Chromatic scale, we had to do a cappella, which is difficult to stay on pitch.
Okay, now, once you were selected, what portion of the year was that? Was that in the early spring? What I'm trying to determine is, how long did you have to learn the music before you shipped out to New York City?
Well, I think I received word in February that I was accepted to go on the tour, and we didn't get our music until about the 1st of June, so actually we had a month to learn it, and we had 21 pieces to learn of music, and some of it was in German. We had one, I remember, that was 32 pages of German that we had to learn, and I don't know anything about speaking German, so that was pretty hard. We had some in foreign languages, other ones too.
I'm not going to sit here and blow my own horn, but I was an All-Northwest as a bassoon player, and if I recall, I kind of partly learned my music and showed up kind of a dummy. Could you have gotten by in the All-Nation Choir with that kind of an approach?
No, they expected the best right off. And we started out, we went through every piece with the music once, and then they made us, and we got down to memorizing. Of course, we couldn't do it. We were supposed to have had it down perfect.
What you're saying then is when you all met together in the on the East Coast, you all knew the music.
That's right. Right.
And what you were concerned more with maybe dynamics, tempo, this type of thing, the refining of it, and memorizing it.
Mm-hmm. I think it was very obvious that the orchestra and the band had spent a lot of time on their music, more than the choir. Something about singing a choir part by yourself doesn't do too much, but an instrumentalist can actually practice a lot more. There's a lot of difference between a choir and an instrumental organization, I guess.
Alice, how big was the choir at the practice sessions on the? I've forgotten the city, but where the city was.
I think the choir numbered about 250 in size, at least. Actually, there was two choirs. There was an A choir and a B choir. And I think that both of them numbered somewhere around 200.
So you had about a 400 voice choir?
When we were together, yeah. It was about 400 altogether.
How about your practice sessions those first few days? Tell me about them.
They were long and drawn out. People lost their voices. We started at 8:30 in the morning after breakfast. Went till 11:30. Then they gave us till 1 o'clock, and we went from 1 to 5. We usually had a break in there around 3 for half hour, and then I think we went from 7 to 9, 2 days in a row, and then we traveled to Carnegie Hall where we rehearsed all afternoon and put on a concert that evening. Then we went back to Ryder College, which is quite a drive, and the next day we left for Washington, D.C., where we had to get our hotel rooms, and then we rehearsed all afternoon and put on a concert in the Kennedy Center. So we were still polishing up when we were performing, but they made us perform anyway.
We'd like to take a break in the program at this time to listen to a record which was cut during one of these polishing up performances. What you're hearing there is 1,000 young people from across the United States performing in Carnegie Hall, I believe. That was some of the polishing up, as Tom put it, from before they took off on their international tour. That is the most fantastic. Unfortunately, that is not the best record that could have been produced of that performance, but I think that anybody who wants to listen very carefully can hear that. That, Alice, that must have been really exciting to have been in that type of a performance.
Yeah, I remember it took us a long time to get on and off stage, and but a performance like that, I found, really wears you out by the time you're done with it. You're just really ready to go home, the excitement and everything. It It's pretty trying.
Tell me who, we didn't really get this. There were 500, there was a 450 or 400 voice choir somewhere along there. Also an orchestra, also a band, is that correct, in that particular number?
There was two bands in the number two, but there wasn't, no, the orchestra didn't participate in that, I don't think. They just used two bands and then the two choirs combined for that one.
So how many people did we have involved in that particular number that we just listened to?
Somewhere between 800 and 1,000, I think, you could safely say. It's impossible to count them when there's that many there. There's a lot of people, though. We filled up the whole stage at Carnegie Hall, and they put us out a little bit on the wings, and it was crowded.
What about the audience for an affair like that? Was it a packed house, a full house? Did you receive the kind of recognition you should have received?
There wasn't... The ground level of Carnegie Hall was full. A few people on the first level. It wasn't full by any means. We did get a standing ovation. I really think that most of the people there were just parents, so...
Yeah, I think that's about right. I do remember when we were at Kennedy Center, Vice President Agnew was supposed to be in the office or in the audience, but nobody actually ever saw him, so I don't know if he was or not. But we did, wherever we went, we got quite a response, and even if it wasn't, you know, a full house or anything, we were well received everywhere that we went.
I would think so. Can you imagine that kind of a performance coming to North Central Washington?
Not really. I don't know where they'd put them all. But, well, the facilities at Wenatchee High School are pretty nice now. Maybe, you know, I know that they've often talked about holding the All-Northwest or the All-State there some year now that they have the facilities for it. But I think it'd be a great thing if they could do something like that in North Central Washington. I think, you know, we're building musically more and more all the time, and I think that would really top it off.
Were you one of those who was losing her voice during these first periods of extended practice, or did you hold out well?
The first day I held out real well, and the second day I didn't at all, and so I found myself the third day mouthing it more than anything, so that night I would be in good shape for the concert. But I think at one time or another everybody got a little bit hoarse.
Did you have that problem, Tom?
Oh, yeah. By the second day, I was pretty hoarse. It amazed me, though, that the people who could keep singing, we found after being there a while that most of the people were semi-professional, and they're kids, you know, young people between 18 and 21. The boy that I have got to be really good friends with, Dave Cross from Burlington, Washington, has a contract in that Seattle area and sings at funerals all the time. A girl I met from New York City has a contract. I'm not sure exactly what she did. I think she sang with some group, but they were under contract. The piano player for the orchestra played all the time. It was just fantastic pianist. Just the caliber of young people we got to meet was fantastic.
Alice, you said one of the boys that was sung right behind you in that particular performance we just heard signed with Ray Conniff, is that correct?
Yes, that's right. His name was, I remember now, it was Neil Armstrong, just like the astronaut. And he had just recently signed a contract to go on with the Ray Conniff Choir, so as soon as he got back from this tour, he was going to begin rehearsals with them. And also, I remember there was a girl that sang a solo in one of the songs, and she also had a contract to sing in minor operas, and she had quite a voice also. But there was a lot of people. Another person that I got to be really good friends with was, his name was David Wells from Portland, and he had just taken, they have like solo and ensemble contests like we have here, only they go all the way to the state level. And he took first in state in Oregon in the voice classings. So we meet quite a few really educated people.
Really exciting. We'll be back with our guests and more of this conversation and maybe even a little more music later on this morning. But we should pause for a word.
Which was $1,000 it cost. I know a boy from Montana who was supported by his community totally. Didn't cost him a cent. And then there was a Negro boy from Virginia who, as far as I know, he wasn't one of these professional type people, but his community supported him totally, and they even sent him along with about $300 spending money, so it didn't cost him anything.
I noticed in going through your material that you took along, what, $100 spending money?
I think I had $200 spending money.
Did it hold out?
No.
Okay. Hey, what did it cost, if I may ask, to make the trip?
I figured it cost me just about $1,500 by the time, well, it was $1,090 just set rate for the tour, and then we had to pay for our own plane tickets back to New Jersey. So that took another chunk, I think, about $179 right there, and then the spending money, and we had one meal a day that we had to pay for on our own. So about $1,500 is what I figured it cost.
That's really, I'm going to ask you, we're jumping ahead of sequence, but you had to buy one meal a day of your own, and I noticed they always bought you breakfast.
Well, not always. They issued us meal tickets, and that's what you saw. And I had a lot of breakfast tickets left over because I didn't especially care for bread and water. Continental breakfast is what it was. So I usually skipped breakfast because I could catch another hour's sleep. And usually they served us almost always breakfast and dinner, but quite often it was just lunch and dinner. It's hard to say. We never knew. I think that's one of the things they needed to work out was a better eating schedule.
Okay. We ask you a question, what it costs. Let's figure it costs $1,000 for round figures, and there were 1,000 students. That's 1,000 times 1,000. And I believe that makes it $1 million investment. I was amazed at the quality of the record that was turned out from your recordings in Carnegie Hall. It seems to me that $1 million investment behooves a better record than that, but that's neither for me. Do you have any feelings along that line?
Well, being as it had only been in effect for 2 years, this program, they still had a lot of things that they needed to work out on it. And a lot of times, even from Allstate and All Northwest, you'll find that you don't get the quality records that you should. And especially my Allstate record, I remember, was quite fuzzy. So I don't know whether they just need to get a better recording company or what it is, but I do think that for the money that you spend and for the memories that you'd like to keep, that the record should be the top quality.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, and I think, Alice, you said it much better than I did. Okay, so we've performed in Carnegie Hall, and we've performed in Kennedy Center, and those were polishing up type performances of involving about 1,000 people at least. From there, what was the sequence of events? Then you split into two choirs, two bands, two orchestras. Is this correct? Just tell me what happened from there till we get into Europe.
Okay, we split. B choir, B band, took off from Kennedy Center, or Kennedy Airport, actually. Well, no. Anyway, the airport in Washington, D.C., and we went to Rome, and Choir A and Band A and the orchestra went to London, and then we just worked our way across Europe until we crossed each other and went back the opposite ways. So,
did you put together a joint performance as you met in Europe?
Yes, we had one more in Salzburg, Austria, is where we met, and I think we had five days in Salzburg when we were all together.
Okay.
That was the last time I saw Alice. It was a year ago in Salzburg.
Before seeing her here this morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really strange, isn't it?
Yeah, that is kind of strange. We sat and talked for about an hour and a half before the performance in the square. It was just a big dirt field right in the middle of the town where everything happened, I guess. They had a fountain, you know, typical. I don't know what you'd call it, a square. Just, they're all over, and almost every city or little town has a square in it.
Tell me what it was like to be traveling with a contingent that large. How did you move about? Okay, you flew. How many planes did you consume traveling to Europe, for example?
We had one 747 that the B group went in, and I imagine the A group went over in a 747, didn't you? Yeah, and so that's how we got around to get to Europe. And after we got to Europe, they had buses, and we were divided, at least the B group was divided into 10 sections, so we had 10 buses. They weren't air-conditioned. They didn't have bathrooms in them. And, you know, they were just rickety old things, really. And it got pretty hot, and we got pretty tired some days when we'd have those 13-hour-long trips in a bus. But I guess that's how you get to know everybody on the bus.
13 hours of traveling on one day?
The day that we went from... we left from Florence, and we went into Austria. And it really wasn't supposed to be that long, but we actually goofed and made a side trip into Germany. And so it turned out to be that long by the time we got there.
How many performances did you make in total in Europe, approximately?
It's hard to say. I think probably somewhere around 30. At least one a day, I think, or sometimes two for us.
Were these scheduled concerts, or were they impromptu on the corner? Did they have large audiences? What I'm trying to say was, once they had you there, they already, were you well utilized, or did you feel ever that you might have been better utilized?
The first performance we put on was in London. Something happened, and the posters were put up for a different building and a different time. And we showed up at the theater, and we set up, which is quite a lengthy process, and we had a quick rehearsal, and then we went backstage to wait, and outside, wherever we can get, just out of the way, and we waited, and we waited. Pretty soon they brought six people in off the street, and there was probably a total of all the chaperones and probably six English people there, and we put on a performance for them. And after that, we knew something had to change, and so I think there was a lady who was in charge of organizing everything, and from then on, I think she saw to it that everything was in order and set up properly. And usually there was quite a crowd everywhere we went. It was all planned, organized ahead of time.
How else did your group have anything like that happen?
No. Everything went pretty well as scheduled for us. We never had anything slip up or anything. We were informed ahead of time what had happened to the other group, so they always shoot us off so we make sure we got there ahead of time and everything. The only thing I remember is that we went to Pisa one day, traveled to Pisa, and we had a concert that night, and our uniforms were wool jackets, and then the girls had skirts and the guys had slacks. And it got 110 that day, and we had on these wool jackets, and we had about six people have heat stroke out of our choir that day. So we lost about six that one day, but everything, you know, that was about the most serious thing that ever happened, except for one case of food poisoning. So,
one case among all of you, or one individual?
Just one individual. He was a person on our bus, and he went to a restaurant the night before, and he ate some rice, which I guess was what made him sick. But usually we stick together. You have to be pretty picky about where you eat, what you eat, and what, especially what you drink, and where you get your water over there, especially in Italy.
Okay, we could get in. In fact, let's do that. Let's talk about the non-performing end of the excursion, as each of you saw it. First of all, you're talking about a lot of people again. Were there any problems having that many people trying to be coordinated? Did you have, for example, you had people from all over the United States, different philosophies, different ways of thinking. You probably even had, I think Tom mentioned, you had maybe even some different races involved. Did any of these things create problems?
Not really. Everybody got to be a pretty close-knit family, really. And you found that you had to stay together over there somewhat, because it's just one of those instances where you don't go around on the street by yourself. You stay pretty much in a group. But most of the time. In fact, I never heard of any conflict between people. Everybody got along real well.
Tom, what was it like to be? Did you want to answer that one?
Well, I'd just like to say, it reminded me of my time in the Army. Sometimes, you know, be up at 6:30, you know, we're going to leave, and it was 10:30. We sat in a bus, you know, for 4 hours, because let's say the Italian bus drivers didn't speak English at all, and the communication gap, somehow they thought we weren't leaving until 10:30. Usually the bus drivers slept somewhere, you know, else. Nobody knew where they were, and so there we sat for 4 hours. Just things like that. It was just like a big caravan, always, you know, stick together. It was just like the Army. That's what we call it, you know. You know, we were wondering when we were gonna. We all said we got drafted, you know, things like that. It was just a big joke.
You traveled in a large group, so probably whenever you arrived, you passed through or went through a community or a city. You couldn't help but be noticed. And obviously you were identified as being an American tour group. Was that a good or a bad thing to have happen?
Some places it was probably bad. Some people didn't like us, didn't like Americans. I don't know why. Just a lot of walls were painted on bad things about Americans and stuff. I think it's easy to understand when you see people, Americans, the way they treat people and steal and stuff like that. And that actually happens in some of those, like in Austria, Salzburg, a very small town with little shops and stuff, really easy to shoplift, and I actually saw American people doing that, you know, which I didn't approve of, but, you know, sometimes you can't, in the circumstances, you can't stop them. And then there are a lot of tour groups over there, nothing, you know, musical or anything, but a lot of people who just travel, and so there's a lot of buses going through, obviously Americans. So really, there wasn't much they could do to us. Sometimes they weren't too friendly. But
I want to find out about your ability to socialize with the people of the native countries that you're in. And we'll ask you that question after we pause for a word.